Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of each of our hearts this morning be acceptable in your sight for you, Lord Christ, by the Spirit, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the children have left, but I have a children's illustration that I want to ask you to participate in. So I want everyone on this side to please stand, and you can observe this children's illustration. And I want you to link hands. I want you to link hands. And all of you need to kind of turn around and see each other, because these folks can see you pretty well. But turn around and get an idea of this linked chain, this chain of persons. This illustration is going to come up sometime later. There won't be a quiz, but you need to look for this illustration as it comes up in the sermon. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may be seated. The title of this message is Found in Translation, and we have two bookend passages, one from the Old Testament, a familiar story, you all know it, it's the Tower of Babel story, or the Tower of Babel story. Things were lost in translation, and then we're going to read the story of the day, the story of Pentecost from the book of Acts, the second chapter. Listen for God's word to you. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them, and they scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel or Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now the other end of that bookend, the story of Pentecost, the story of being found in translation. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, let me start over, excuse me. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'" This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Found in translation. Let's look at this word translation. We think of it as what we do when we're able to know one language and translate so that someone else in another language understands. But that word at its root is a Latin word which means to carry across, to carry across. And I think the essence of the Word of God for today on Pentecost is, how was this experience to 12 to 120 that happened on the day of Pentecost, how is that carried across somehow to Darien, Connecticut, to this group in this room today by the power of the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the presence of Christ, and how do we pass it on? That, to me, is the story for us today of Pentecost. Because these 12, these 120, experienced Christ Himself was there. They heard His teachings. They saw His healings. But I think most importantly, they watched a man, flesh and blood, live in a radically new way. They watched him go beyond the law that would make them holy as they knew it. They watched him fulfill that law, and a new understanding, a radically new understanding of what it meant to love God. Jesus called that God, that Father, Abba. The creator of the universe could be that intimate and that close to each one of them. He told a story to a lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And he told a story of one of those half-breed Samaritans who showed mercy to someone he didn't even know, breaking down the barriers of race, the barriers of tribe, the barriers of class. This radically new life was made visible, was made plain to those people who were eyewitnesses. How was that going to be continued, and continued even to here, even to now, in Darien, Connecticut? And so we come to this great mystery of one in three. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send for you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And if we think of nothing else about this part of the Trinity, we need to say that the Holy Spirit points and makes present Jesus Christ Himself, even today, even now. I want to share with you some words for Pentecost today from the preacher down the road at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church, Fred Anderson. And he wrote this: This is the first thing to remember on this Pentecost, that we stand in a long line of witnesses, all of whom have received this promised advocate, this promised power from on high, this one whose task is to make known Jesus Christ present to us at our every breath, making us participants in His work, whether we're conscious of it or not. That we have been given on this day that we celebrate today, we have been given an advocate who is the Holy Spirit, who makes present and real for us through a great chain of witnesses, Jesus Christ Himself. Now, in 1983, the two largest denominations of the Presbyterian Church reunited. They were separated in the Civil War, and in 1983, they reunited, and on that occasion, they needed to create a document which said what they believed in unison. And in one voice, they produced the brief statement of faith. And I want to read you what they said so that we can get a clearer understanding. And Pastor Greg, in his beautiful prayer, summarized what I'm about to read. So listen to the brief statement of faith on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in one body of Christ, the church. The same Spirit who inspired prophets and apostles at Pentecost, the same Spirit who inspired prophets and apostles rules our faith and our life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the Word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, and I would add, in me, and to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. By the Holy Spirit, we have received and we now pass on the very presence of Christ. That is the great, breathtaking mystery that we have been given, that somehow through this great chain of witnesses, we have received and we now experience and pass on the presence of Christ. Now, maybe that's a little abstract for some of us. On days, it's very abstract for me. And so I thought it might be good to think of an example of how something so important gets received from someone of our elders, and we experience it and then pass it on. And we have a member of our church, a pastor in our church, who has a book-lined office. I never saw so many books in one place outside of a library. And you know that this is a pastor scholar who takes his work in understanding scripture and theology seriously. But there's one very incongruous thing in this office. As you walk in the door, right there on the right-hand side on the floor, there's an old child's baseball bat. And this baseball bat has been hit so many times that the autograph model stamping has been worn off. But he's quick to tell you whose bat, whose autograph is there. In fact, he hinted at some of this morning earlier. It's a Carl Yastrzemski autograph model. He was number 8, and the spirit of Yastrzemski, I think, still in Greg's mind, patrols left field. The Golden Glove winner, how many times? Lots. This man also has there a really worn baseball glove sitting there on the floor right by the door. It looks like it's been out in the rain for a couple of years, but I know it was so precious for him that it never got left out in the rain. And so when you talk to Greg, you know that he has received the spirit through his family, through his father, the spirit of Carl Yastrzemski and the Boston Red Sox. And now, the beautiful thing is that he has a son, Elliot, who is a pitcher, who's a left-handed pitcher, who is very, very good. And so you see that that Greg has received a spirit here, and he is, by God's grace, passing it on. That's a good example to me. Or Maud. You know, Maud Pettis told me an interesting story on Mother's Day. She said, and we were talking about Sam's sermon and how Sam's mother had prepared him to go out as a man of faith in the world. And she said, you know, Michael, the Chinese word for giving birth is not giving birth. It's sending out. Is sending out. Somehow we receive and we then experience and then we pass it on. We pass it on. And so my question for you today is this: how do you experience the presence of Christ? How do you experience the presence of Christ? Because what Jesus said is this: when they had come together and he was about to ascend, when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And that means Darien, Connecticut. You will receive power. How do you experience power? Because so many of us are type A, we think, well, receiving that power must mean my ability to do something. And that's certainly true. That's certainly true. You may turn around having done an act of kindness, having cared for a stranger, having found the words for reconciliation, and you may say, how was I able to do that? But I will tell you how often I experience the power of Jesus Christ. And that is through tears. Through tears. How many of you, when something so holy, it may be great sadness, it may be great joy, it may be watching a child do something just like your mother or father would do it. It may be somebody bursts into your office and absolutely opens their heart to you in joy, in mission, in fear. I'm trying to be a man's man, but I will tell you often my response to the presence of Christ is tears. Now you have a set of athletic teams in Darien called the Blue Wave. And this is how I like to think about Pentecost. That somehow on Pentecost, a 5-pound stone was tossed down here into Scott's Bay. And Scott's Bay that day was just clear as glass, like it was this morning. And Scott's Bay, and then there were these ripples, these waves. I'd like to think of today as the red wave. The red wave of feeling, experiencing Christ's presence in tears, in power to do something. Experiencing Christ's presence through the Holy Spirit that comes to us through this great cloud of witnesses, even to here, even now, that somehow we can be found in translation, in the carrying across of this presence of Christ, even here, even now. And now comes our sermon illustration. You know, I've been curious about how many generations it's been since Pentecost. And so in my former congregation was the archivist of the state of New Jersey. And he said, the way genealogists think about generations, even going back into history, it's 30 years per generation, 30 years. So the people who stood over here are 67 generations holding hands, linked as a great cloud of witnesses from Pentecost to Darien, Connecticut on this day in 2009. It's only 67 generations of people who have received the power and presence of Christ, and who have somehow found ways to witness to that and pass it along. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen.